Wow. Grace. Seems so foreign to us. Seems so hard to comprehend and to grasp grace. What it really means for our lives, for our eternal lives. We try throwing things at it like God's riches at Christ's expense. Sounds fancy, but what does that mean? We call it unmerited, undeserved, the favor of God. But really, what does that mean until you see it in action, right? To know that all God does is have to speak our name, and in speaking our name, we hear the love of God, the forgiveness of God, the life of God, the arms of Jesus envelop us, wrap us, hold us, and keep us close to Him. This is the grace of God. And God's grace, unmerited, undeserved, perfect, every good and perfect gift that He gives us because of Jesus Christ at His expense. We certainly don't deserve it, but there it is in Scripture for all time, from the very beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation and unto eternity, because He is Alpha and Omega. That grace has been given to you and to me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the powerful ancient words of God are trustworthy and true. We know that God has spoken it into existence from the very mouth of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, given it to us through men of old, and we know those words are so trustworthy that we can hold to them. But in this world full of sin and shame is such a disgusting thing that Satan uses, in this world full of sin and shame and wretchedness and illness and war and violence and creepy clowns and all of that stuff going on in this world, God's grace is hard to grasp. It's hard to hold on to. It's hard to believe. It's hard to even say, God, pour your grace on me. And so today, just for a moment, I want us to sit back. I want us to be enveloped in this word of God, these trustworthy words that Paul says to Timothy today that echo for each and every one of us, these words that we need to hear today and every day, these words that are so appropriate for our time as living as Christians in this world is harder and harder all the time. Now, sure, we're not being thrown into the lion's den and eaten by lions, but in reality, we're being thrown into the lion's den and eaten by lions. Christianity is not popular. Christians are looked down upon. We're thought to be weird. And the reality is, sometimes we are, but that's okay. But living in this world today, I want you to sit back and I want you to listen to God's grace, because Paul says to Timothy, to me, some of the most powerful words of that grace today. I'm going to bring those up on the screen. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. As we see today in the opening skit that I showed you, here's Peter, right? What a wonderful example of grace, because here Peter denied Jesus. He denied Him. He was faithless. At the very moment when the rubber hit the road, he denied knowing Jesus. Now, what was truly going on in his heart? We don't know. We get a glimpse of his mind. He was afraid. His life was threatened. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know the end of the story, although he did. He just didn't realize it yet. Jesus had told them over and over and over again. But here he was, and he says, I don't know this guy. Are you kidding? I've never seen him before. And in those moments, his faithlessness, his lack of faith shines through. But God's grace is awesome, because His word today tells us even when we are faithless, He is faithful. He cannot disown Himself. Now think about this for a second, right? Every time we sin, guess what we're being? Faithless. Every time we decide to choose evil over God, we are being faithless. And so the reality is, it's easy for us to sit back in our chairs and say, oh, I'd never do that. Oh, Peter, I would never deny Jesus. It's easy to say that. But the reality is, as we sit here, we're a bunch of hypocrites, all of us, because we say in one breath we believe in Jesus, and the next we deny him with our actions, our thoughts, and our desires as we choose to sin. That's the reality of this world we live in. And sometimes it isn't said to us harshly enough. When we sin, when we fail to love God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind, when we fail to love our neighbor as ourselves, when we jump quickly to judging people and thinking bad of them, whether that's racism or whatever else it is that goes on in our world, when we lust, when we get into all these areas of not trusting God and worrying, the reality is we are being faithless. But God cannot disown himself, and there's a surprise on that in a minute, but he cannot disown himself. So because of that, because we belong to him, he is faithful. He is that prodigal, the father of the prodigal son, sitting there, looking, waiting, watching for the son. And as soon as the son repents, as soon as the son turns around, the father is already running to him with arms wide open to say, I love you. How beautiful is that? And Jesus says, this is the kingdom. This is how God operates. No longer will your sin or your faithlessness keep me from you. In fact, it draws me closer to you because I will go to the ends of the world to rescue you. If you haven't admitted you're a sinner yet, then you have no need for Jesus. When Luther says sin boldly, he's not saying to go out and commit sin because you know you're forgiven. He says sin boldly in knowing that God, who is faithful, will love you and forgive you forever. Do you see that? That's how faithful God is. Moment by moment, the Psalms say we don't even know the sins we commit. That's how bad we are. I know that's true for me, but God is so very faithful that he already forgives us and never loses faith in us. Cling to that. It's not how much we believe in Jesus. It's not how strong our faith is. Faith is knowing that he is with us. He believes in us. After all, he died for us. He is faithful. If we endure, we will reign with him. Have any of you endured through life? Everybody should have their hands raised, right? Does anybody think life is easy? Nobody's cooperating today. Nobody's raising their hand. Well, just in case you missed it, it's really not easy. I don't even have to give a sermon on that. You just know it's not easy, right? And it's kind of hard to endure sometimes. I remember I had this great notion when we moved here to Fort Worth that I was going to be healthy, and since our apartment complex was on the Trinity Trail, I was going to get up every morning and start walking the Trinity Trail, and then I was going to start jogging the Trinity Trail, and then I was going to start running the Trinity Trail. After all, I lived right there. I was paying to use it, and what a beautiful place to do it, right? And I got up that first morning, and it was 90 degrees in the morning, and I started walking the Trinity Trail and no jogging, and about a week later, I thought I'm going to jog the Trinity Trail, and I did for about 100 feet, and then running, forget that, it never happened, right? I didn't have the endurance. It's hard to do, and that's how life is. But the great thing is, we don't endure it alone. The great thing is that God gives us his Holy Spirit, you see? He gives us that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that interacts in our lives, that fills our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies, that says when we want to fall down, he's picking us up. It's kind of like that story of the footprints in the sand, right? We look back and there are two sets of footprints. It isn't ours. It's Jesus. That's how he operates. Through the power of his Holy Spirit, he gives us the endurance to hold on. And indeed, if we endure, we will reign with him. And this is the great thing about this. We will not fail in Jesus because he's given us his Holy Spirit. And since we cannot fail in Jesus, and because he is faithful, heaven is our home, and we will reign with him. Even now, by God's grace, he has given you his entire kingdom. Stop for a moment and think about that. I used to, as a kid, think about, oh, what if I had a rich uncle somewhere, or I was really royalty, and they found out, and I'd get this lavish kingdom and all these things. Heck, I'm still waiting for the white limousine I thought I'd get when I signed up to be a pastor, and I haven't gotten that yet, or the orange Lexus, so I did get a Hot Wheels. But you know what I'm saying, right? Right? But the reality is, here is God, and he says, I give you my kingdom. Everything I have now belongs to you. Everything I have now belongs to you, and you will reign with me. That's how much I love you. Do you see that? And that's words of grace. And those words of grace are promises of grace. And those promises of grace cannot fail. And it's really comforting to know that even now, as we sit here, our loved ones who have died before us are experiencing the power of that promise. And how exciting that is. If we die with him, we will live with him. And how true is that, right? And what does that make you think of, by the way? If we die with Christ, we will rise with Christ. What does it make you think of? Baptism. You see, it's all about baptism. It's all about baptism as we die with Christ in baptism and we rise to newness of life in baptism. It's all about baptism as God washes away our sins, washes away our past, washes away our future, washes away our future sins, and he destroys it all as that water cleanses us, as baptism springs forth into our lives. You see, that's how God operates. And at that very moment in baptism, he promises his grace is for you. At that very moment in baptism, the Holy Spirit makes you his child. At that very moment of baptism, you become a child of God and your identity becomes child of God. Now go all the way back to the first point. God can't be faithless to us because he cannot disown himself. You see, we are Jesus in this world. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit makes us Jesus to the world around us. Therefore, God cannot deny himself. That's the promise God gives to us. It's all sealed through the great gift of baptism. It's sealed and declared every time we read the word. It's sealed and declared every time we gather for the Lord's Supper. It's sealed and declared when we come to this holy sanctuary for the funeral of our loved one. It's sealed and declared on Easter morning as we declare Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It is sealed. It is declared. It is yours. God's grace is for you. You will not die. You will live. Amen.